Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. Wrestling. Wrestling. The best things in life are free. But I want to be like Edge and Big E. I want money. Money in the bank. That's what I want. Money in the bank.
I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture.
What was that? What on earth was that?
The money song.
What money song?
That was that money song.
What you're on
I
about?
I want money. Boop, 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 boop. That's what I want. You if you liked Melody and didn't just like sludge, you know that song.
You conspired to invent that song. It doesn't really exist.
Andy Murray, when it comes to music, you like nothing.
Literally.
Anyway, I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Andy Murray and Michael Hampton.
It wasn't my car.
They are. You've sat me too close to the buttons today, pal.
Discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week and look ahead to Money in the Bank this weekend. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2, but AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamfler and Murray to look ahead to Money in the Bank this weekend, one of the best pay-per-views premium live events of the year.
Yes, I'm not as enthusiastic as you, but I'm not enthusiastic. I like newsworthy shows. I like eventful happenings. WWE, seemingly, I've worked out today when writing a preview that will be available on whatculture.com/WWE that the reason this card looks as milquetoast as it does underneath the Money in the Bank ladder matches is because WWE are feeling stubborn and petulant and are still a bit pissy that people didn't buy tickets to keep this in the stadium.
I forgot about that.
Just 6 weeks ago, this was supposed to kick off this trifecta of summer stadium events that positioned WWE as the global leader in all of this. And then since then, Vince McMahon has had to step down from being CEO, and Money in the Bank has had to step down in an arena with 16,000 people because they couldn't sell 70,000 tickets. So I think petulantly, they've produced this card full of title matches where you can predict every single winner, and two ladder matches that have got a couple of, as we've said, you know, like potential surprise candidates or interesting ones. But I think that there's a stubborn element from WWE about this, and I think they've wanted to make this look more like a B-show. So we might, all of that is to say, we might be pleasantly surprised that afterwards we're speaking about this like this was one of the more eventful shows of the year. Much like Hell in a Cell.
I was going to say, it does strike me as a bit like one of those premium live events you go into going, I'm sure this will be fine and there'll be passable matches. And then afterwards, there's something bonkers you talk about. You, Andy Murray, have posited potential surprises to spice this up, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I think if you followed the pattern of recent wrestling news, which has been completely bonkers, although it does seem to have coincidentally calmed down a lot since I returned to the country and restored equilibrium to the British wrestling media scene. If you follow all the patterns and the way things are going, there's only one thing that can possibly happen to make the show as newsworthy as possible. And I think it's quite inevitable, given that there's one spot left in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, and given that Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel Elias, Elon Musk, Ebenezer, whatever, can no longer go ahead. Obviously, it's the insertion of Vince McMahon into the match and his immediate cashing in on Roman Reigns.
McMoney in the Bank.
I mean, nonsense aside, I actually wouldn't be at all surprised if he was on the show at the very least.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, if if Vince is thinking, hey, I've got to keep myself in the zeitgeist here, I've been accused of some bad stuff, I'm going to win the briefcase. I'm going to get my guns out. I'm going to look as pathetic and frail as I did at WrestleMania 38. I would just point out that I will look even more pathetic and frail when I'm his age. So, you know, whatever. But, I mean, the handful is right. The pattern for years with WWE pay-per-views has been if it looks crap on paper, it's probably going to be really good.
Yeah.
And if it looks really good on paper, it's probably going to be quite good. These things are rarely outright bad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are. And when they are, we say they are. But mostly they're good fun. For me, personally, and I'm speaking only for myself, there is no stipulation in wrestling I am more bored of than ladder matches, and we get two of them on the same night here. So it's a tough sell for me personally, but I know that when I sit up on Saturday night at midnight or whatever and I press the button, I'll be into it and it'll be fun. And yeah, covering these shows is always fun because you're guaranteed at least two major stories in the briefcases, unless someone boring wins, like Vince.
Every ladder match, when it's announced, feels like the 50th ladder match you've watched this year. I realised that when AEW announced one for a Dynamite a while ago, or maybe the pay-per-view, I can't remember, and it just felt like, well, another one. Yeah. And then I felt like that woman complained about elections that time. Another one! But there'd been something like four, which was still nearly one a month in AEW, which is too many, but I'd could have sworn there'd been double that.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling. Even if, for all now at this point, AEW and WWE took a break from ladder matches for ages, it would never feel like that because there's been so many banked up to this point.
In terms of surprise returns, though, we talked a little bit about Bayley before. Mm-hmm. Andy suggested Charlotte Flair in The Office.
Mm.
She's due to return for the summer.
Somebody gets injured. She does the Brock. Makes sense.
There's a spot in the men's one as well. It seems very feasible, all this.
I think so.
Whether it's Bayley in the Money in the Bank or in a title match.
I could well see Bayley coming back after, rather than like being the kind of Carmella being the red herring match and it being Bayley and Bianca Belair right now. I could well see Bayley making a return on this show. You have Bianca Belair and Ronda Rousey as two champions that are going to need challenges for stadium shows. Bayley would fit the brief for either of those. Charlotte Flair returning, for all that, like, people will have that Brock Lesnar feeling of, oh no, she's come to spoil everything, immediately enters back into the main event. Assuming that Becky Lynch isn't fighting Bianca Belair, and maybe she is, if she's not fighting Bianca Belair at SummerSlam, both those rosters are just barren in terms of an actual star that you can put into a stadium show. They've not tried to put people in place. So the more people they can have returning, the better. Likewise, I mean, look, we've just seen it in the men's division. Roman Reigns beats Riddle and Drew McIntyre pretty much calls his shot for Clash at the Castle. And there's this glaring gap in the middle. How can they be creative to come up with something new for SummerSlam? They can't. So it's just Brock Lesnar all over again. So it stands to reason that they'll be looking at SummerSlam and Clash at the Castle as needing big stars. Bayley and Charlotte fit the brief, they're big time matches. For Ronda more than Bianca at this point, I think. Bianca Belair potentially elevates somebody who she's with. Ronda is in desperate need of a star to feel like a star again.
Yeah, it's... I'll always go to bat for Shayna Baszler, but it's not going to be her at the end of the day. In terms of the Natalya match, who is the submission specialist for you?
I'm going to have to go with Ronda Rousey, Adam. I would like this to mirror... I think it would be the betterment of everybody if this mirrors Rousey UFC fight and it's done within the minute.
Yep.
I don't even think that's bad booking. Like, Natalya has had to do really, really silly sports entertainment bollocks in an attempt to, in inverted commas, get in Ronda's head. Mm. But on the night, they've had Ronda crush people before when they've presented them as well below her level. If you think about what she did individually to members of the Riot Squad in that mini feud before WrestleMania 35, she just decimated them. She would have the odd competitive defense against Sasha Banks. I think she defeated Bayley on a Raw. But for the most part, when somebody was presented as just so much weaker than Ronda Rousey, they were put to the sword, effectively. Mm-hmm. And I would quite like to see that here. Nobody buys Natalya as a competitor. So wouldn't it just be nice if on the night WWE played to that and had Ronda Rousey not buy her either?
Mm. Yes.
That or 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I know which one I prefer.
It's what I said on the preview yesterday with Citrus is the exact same thing. I compared it to Tyson back in the day when I used to watch Ronda in the UFC. You'd be going, well, it's not going to be lasting long, but I'm going to watch it and just have her do this here. I think it would reinstate a bit of that aura that she may have lost, Andy.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of just squashing people from time to time, even if they're an established person, even if they've been around a long time. I think Honest to goodness, if you know the Claudio Zach match at Forbidden Door had started off and it had legitimately finished on that opening neutralizer, I'd have bloody loved it. Don't get me wrong, I loved the match they gave us, but sometimes the shock and awe of a squash is just bloody awesome. I loved Goldberg versus Brock, the first one at the Survivor Series and stuff. So yeah,
you buy it, don't you?
Yeah,
you just think, oh, yeah, I've seen fights or other sporting stuff where someone comes in and they've not misunderstood the assignment, but they've underestimated their opponent and they immediately pay the price.
Yeah, exactly.
Goldberg versus The Fiend. I'll have a What Culture beer with that.
Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor. 9 seconds, one punch, done. Like, you know, that's what it is. And Natalia, well, I've lost my train of thought again. What am I doing?
No, Ronda Rousey. Is it by the push chair, by any chance?
Does the push chair have its own OnlyFans account, is what I want to know. Has it got a subscription to whatever's going on? What's this nonsense about an OnlyFans thing that's going on Twitter?
It's just this piss poor.
I saw something about Twitter with people's sisters or something.
Useless crack between them.
And Natalia, conspiracies.
Aye. Natalia or a sister, or they've got a shared one. I've got an OnlyFans account. Ronda went for that in some poor Twitter crack. And Natalia was like, well, better having that than a random wood in the back of my house where I spout conspiracy theories, which I'm assuming must be Ronda's online brand. Does she go into a garden?
She's got some ropey opinions, shall we say. Yeah. So, right. Okay, I missed this and I heard people talking about it.
It's worked ropey Twitter crack.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the worst of all.
Of course, no, it's not good. But Ronda's aura desperately needs something, doesn't it? It desperately needs something. I don't think that her spending 4 minutes on the mat struggling to get out of a sharpshooter is the way to restore it.
Especially not that bloody sharpshooter.
Yeah, it'd be more struggling to get in it.
It's the best submission move since the Miz's figure four. but yes, Ronda should run through her.
In terms of legitimate chances of titles changing hands, I think it's fair to say, I don't want to dwell on Bianca Belair, come on. I think if it's Carmella, not to dismiss her too much. I mean, I've already booked her on 3 different podcasts to immediately be taken out of the match and replaced by someone else. I feel bad for saying that, but it's a straightforward win for Bianca Belair there.
Yep.
In terms of a possibility of a title change, could it be the Undisputed Tag Titles, the Street Profits versus the Usos? We were talking on the SmackDown preview earlier about the fact that they're building back up the Viking Raiders now.
Yeah.
That doesn't work with the Usos as champs.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, it could be. The problem with it is that they've not built it in a way that builds a great deal of anticipation for the title change, have they? Like the
total
endless
opposite. I'm sick of seeing them fight.
Yeah, they've really booked this program to get under rather than over, and it makes it really difficult to sit down and throw down any kind of particularly compelling outcome here, because keeping the Usos run going is compelling from the standpoint of them being one of the most decorated and best tag teams in WWE history, which I think they are. Maybe not necessarily in terms of like not volume of great matches, but in terms of what the metrics WWE would use to go, these are all timers. They're absolutely there. And they've had great matches, just not necessarily on this current run. For me, people might disagree. And that's fine. But I think this is a complete coin flip of a match, which means by default, it's probably the match with the highest chance of a title change because the others seem quite locked in to me.
Not to say that you can't switch these back on TV, because obviously you can. Mm. I just, like, we were talking about this on the SmackDown podcast, right? I like moments in wrestling. I think moments have been bastardized somewhat by NXT's obsession with them at the start of the Wednesday Night Wars. Like, moments are good, and they're as good. A great moment is as good as a great match for me as a fan, and WWE have dined out on that for decades, right? But at the moment, too many of their moments aren't really moments. They are obsessed with the visual of the bloodline with the belts. They are absolutely obsessed with it. Like, don't believe it, watch WrestleMania and the biggest title match of all time at the center. Watch a bang average match play out just for the sake of having
the banging match, I agree. We the ones, right?
A bang average match play out just for the sake of them all sticking their fingers up in the air at the end. The 6-man tag at WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was pretty spirited.
I bet than I anticipated.
And the Usos RK-Bro match was, again, pretty good. But it all exists. It does all just exist for them, or Bloodline holding up belts. Because in their mind, I think they believe they've got a lot more of a... I mean, look, maybe some younger fans will feel this as well, because this might be their first taste of this. I genuinely believe that the visuals of those with the belts make some fans believe that they've got some sort of dynasty here. Some type of four horsemen thing where... You know, like, oh, these, in years to come, we will look back on the dominance of the Bloodline. Remember when the Bloodline held all the titles? And it's like, well, I do remember seeing the images that you posted once every 3 months when they were actually all on the show at the same time. But save for a couple of Roman Reigns title matches, they're never together. Yeah. The tag division has been decimated by the fact that the belts have been amalgamated. The world title's been put together hasn't exactly been good for the show. So I think certain still images will tell a very different story to what it's been like to live this week by week. But WWE are obsessed with these still images. I say all three of these get to at least SummerSlam, probably Clash at the Castle with all the belts for a big night of big defeats for the Bloodline. Maybe the Usos lose them at SummerSlam and it's seen that Roman's got to cling on to the Empire and then it's him and Drew and that adds a bit of drama to, well...
And Flower of Scotland, please out the pay-per-view. Tremendous.
I love... do you know what my favourite line from Flower of Scotland is?
What?
She goodbye to the Scottish gays. Because Drew's going to walk there. They're going to do a vignette of him walking down. They're going to play that throughout.
We beat you in World War II, mate. Which was famously Scotland versus England.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember World War II. Was that Euro 96? I forget when World War II was. I don't know.
In terms of Theory versus Bobby Lashley, as Andy said, I think the tag titles are the most under threat here. It's wild to say that when a card features Bobby Bloody Lashley finally getting his hands on Theory, who I think Big he's Bob. Defeated like gauntlet matches and what have you prior to this.
It's
so transparent, this, isn't it?
It's a really hard sell, this. Both men are very transparently, to use Murray's word, in programs with other people. I don't know who Lashley is in a program with, but he's not really in a program with Theory because when he finishes one with Omos, he held up somebody's replica world title as if to say, I'm back in the game for this, and then has been put in for the secondary title instead. Mm-hmm. So a belt that he doesn't even want and has made it clear that he doesn't want is the one that he's stuck fighting for. In the meantime, Theory has got this US title and is all but ready for John Cena at SummerSlam based on reports and teases on television now. So that's not just speculative stuff. They've, you know, started to make it explicit that that's where they're going as well. And yet both have needed something to do. Theory to be in a program, Lashley to look like he's not been derailed by having nothing to do. And yet there's no believable way Theory gets out of this with the title unless it's cheap or it's a non-finish or whatever. I don't know.
I've been thinking about this more and more because me and Sid sort of did the same dismissive, oh, it's probably going to be a count out or a DQ or something like that. There is an argument to be made that you put the US title on Bobby Lashley because he's not going to be involved in the world title for a while, like you say. You got Brock and then you got presumably Drew at Clash at the Castle. You put the title on him. There's no reason why he couldn't fight John Cena just because he thinks John Cena's a bell end and John Cena quite rightly thinks Theory's a bell end. You don't necessarily need the US title there, I suppose.
I don't think you do, but I do think he will hold on to it coming out of this match. And I think he'll beat Bobby Lashley by some kind of stupid banana skin. Maybe he'll poke him in the eye with a selfie stick or something.
Oil in the eyes.
Oil in the eyes, there you go. Well, the thing with...
I booked it already, but I haven't booked it in front of you two, so I'll save that till after you've given your thoughts.
Well, the thing with programs like this specific pairing here, and then Theory versus Cena, they can be the best thing in the world. The best thing in pro wrestling is watching people like rise up and stuff, right, and become truly great and become a different level of star. The whole appeal of NXT the first time around was, hey, a person I've never heard of, oh yeah, suddenly they're the best wrestler in the world. Joy of discovery, all that stuff, people you've been on the ground floor with. So when you have an established wrestler putting over a younger guy and elevating them and all that stuff, when it works, it is wonderful. It's incomparable in pro wrestling. This sucks. This version of it sucks because you have to be able to believe in the person, the younger wrestler who's entering this match, that they have it, what it takes to be a top person, that they have the charisma, the ring skills, the magnetism, everything. You look at them and you see, yes, you could headline shows, you could make loads of money for this company. You have to believe in them. Theory's not it. He's a quite good wrestler. He's a quite good promo. He's a quite charismatic man. He's not excellent at anything. Doesn't radiate future megastar. Aside from having a nice body, doesn't radiate anything. You see these, you know, when he's in these backstage segments with John Cena, as he was this week, it's night and day. John Cena didn't even say anything. And he still felt like he dwarfed this guy in sheer presence. Bobby Lashley's the same. And Bobby's not exactly the slickest promo in the game or anything like that. But when these two guys are on screen, one of them feels, and that's what it is, it's a feel, like he could be a headlining guy and he's in his 40s. That's the problem with me in this program, is that Fury has a good, like, I like the selfies and the faces and stuff, but it's a very mid-card act, and he has very mid-card charisma. And if they're going to put him over John Cena, sounds like not a good guy to elevate, if you ask. Maybe I'm being too harsh on this guy. I don't want to, you know, outright dismiss a 24-year-old's prospects of ever making it at the highest, highest level. But for me, it's far too early in his career to see any level of charisma or magnetism or star power to suggest that he can be anything on the same level as even what Bobby Lashley was a year or so ago. I don't think it's there.
Do you know what as well? When it comes to someone like a Bobby Lashley, like it would be the ultimate losing upwards for Theory to lose his US title to then go and fight John Cena. We used to say that about, well, they could lose upwards and then that could put him into a WWE title program. Like at this point, a match with John Cena is probably bigger than him getting a match with Roman Reigns, because at least you can conceive that he would beat Cena. Mm. But the belts are so devalued now that, you know, that old thing about, oh, it's like, it's not the belt that makes the man, it's the man that makes the belt. You can lift that word belt out and replace it with match.
Yeah.
Like, do we have bigger matches now than title matches? It's not Theory fighting for the Universal title, it's Theory fighting John Cena. But it's not Cena. I was going to say, it's not Cena that makes the man, it's the man that makes Cena. It kind of is, because at this point, like, Cena will do absolutely anything for anybody, but it's down to them to make the most of working with John Cena more than it is John Cena just going out there and laying down for a guy, you know? Like, at this point, like, I thought he was like that a few years ago, and then he still kind of put Baron Corbin in his place because he didn't think he was ready, did he? Mm-hmm. Cena's even more selfless now than he was then. To me, from the outside, it looks as if he'll do whatever for anybody. The company will say, fancy this to someone who's like, yeah, no bother, whatever. But it's up to that person. And to Murray's point, like, Theory could go on and beat John Cena and probably will. I don't necessarily think it's going to make a difference. It'll be WWE telling you.
So artificial, isn't it? Yeah. It's so artificial. Like, he'll beat the 16-time world champion and they'll be like, oh, look how great he is. Theory, he's taking the next step. And yet none of this will track in his performances at all. He'll come out on Raw and he'll do some wacky faces and take a selfie. And it'll be like, oh, you're quite obnoxious, mate, but you should probably be feuding for the US title still.
Unless he takes my advice for this match, which is, what's been the key component in this feud between Bobby Lashley and Theory? You mentioned it a minute ago.
Oil.
Exactly. What does oil make you, apart from nice and shiny?
Slippy, like the eel.
Exactly right, Andy. So slippy you could slip out of the Hurt Lock, maybe?
Oh!
Your arms are up in the air. Very you good. Square on yourself like Nakazawa.
It's
thank
literally
you,
Nakazawa.
Slips out of that. Boom. The referee gets some baby oil in his eyes. He's distracted. He pulls out his phone, goes to take a selfie, but it's on super flash mode. Blinds Lashley, hits him with his finisher. 1, 2, 3. Thanks very much, everyone. Theory is made. Put a bow on it, and there you go.
I love how your finish has two different performers, if you include the referee, getting blinded through two different means. Referee gets some oil in his eyes, you know, and then the other one's got a flash on his camera.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, let's get to the Money in the Bank ladder matches then before we get to this week's hashtag bloody good quiz. In terms of, like you say, we speculated for potential surprise entrance. There's a TBD at time of recording. Ignoring them, Andy, let's start with a women's match. If you had to bet a pasty on it, you don't. We've still got a pasty bet on this I'll get to when we get to the men's match. If you had to put your money where your mouth is, your pasty where your mouth is.
Oh, I'd love to put a pasty where my mouth is.
Lacey Evans, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi, Becky Lynch. Who are you picking as Mrs. Money in the Bank?
Charlotte Flair. I feel like they're going to redo the Brock thing this year because taking time off, got married, honeymoon, all that stuff. Great stuff. Good for them. Andrade's back on TV, as you pointed out quite recently. Mm-hmm. And that's who she got married to. So there you go. If you want an accurate window of how long Charlotte Flair might be out for, unless she asked for like a longer stretch, which she'd be entitled to. She works very hard. Looking at this field, Becky's quite a compelling option, I think, because if you do another title match of her and Bianca, if she loses again to Bianca Belair, if you're still going down the, like, her character's like falling apart because she keeps failing, it's a pretty good match to lose and spark that because it's a big show and it's her biggest rival and all of that. That's quite a compelling option. But yeah, I mean, Charlotte Flair, it just feels like they'll do the Brock trope and they'll...
Who does she take out? Potentially Lacey Evans? They've been wanting to do that for a long old while, of
course. Yeah, well, there you go. You've just answered the question. Lacey as a babyface versus Charlotte Flair in the interim to keep Charlotte busy before she gets involved in the cash-in angle. There we go. We've saved Christmas.
If not Charlotte, who are you picking, Hamlet?
Well, I was going to pick Lacey Evans, actually. It's a bit of an outside shot. Like a couple of years ago, she'd have been walking out of a hotel room with a mystery person, and you'd see that mystery person and be like, "Hoi, it's Ric Flair." I like Murray's Charlotte thing. The prospect of a spoiler, not the result kind, but somebody coming in and kind of spoiling everybody's plans or like as a bit of a surprise, an unwelcome WWE surprise. She's a perfect fit for that sort of thing. Bailey is a fit of a different kind. Mm. Like, I think she's going to be so, maybe not, but in my mind, she's going to be so popular when she comes back. She's a missed wrestler. Most wrestlers are when they go away. She'll be missed, and she'll come back to a pop that Charlotte Flair probably won't have. There'll be a sense of dread permeating around the building. But I had Lacey Evans for this, if only because, I will say, to WWE's credit, I think this is probably one of the more unpredictable ones they've had in years, this particular field of wrestlers. Becky Lynch would be a heavy favourite if she wasn't in the middle of this downward spiral run that doesn't really suit her suddenly having a golden ticket for title shot. Asuka is perpetually over and thus doesn't need it and can kind of always slide into a title shot in the first place. Liv Morgan and Shotzi and Alexa Bliss have got these fan bases that would will them to get the shot. Shotzi would be this like big underdog one, mm-hmm. but Liv Morgan is the one that people have wanted for years. I think Alexa Bliss would like please a lot of people, having been freewheeling since she's returned. But what they do with them in Money in the Bank matches often is give you the fingertips on the briefcase visual before it all goes wrong at the last. I don't think they know what they want to do with Lacey Evans long term. But this insincere babyface on commentary thing she's been doing on SmackDown would be quite nicely paid off if she was to cash in on a babyface. It gets lost sometimes. Cash in is more of a heel thing than a babyface thing. They have done it with babyfaces, you know. I know Big E called his shot last year, but the cash in was still Bobby Lashley had hurt his leg, hadn't he? And he was coming at it from an advantageous mm-hmm. position, even though he told you on Twitter, tonight's the night I'm cashing it in. Lacey Evans is the sort of character that they can have play in the, come on, guys, still cheer me. We're all good. Here, I'm doing a double bicep pose on the ramp. We're all
red,
friends.
White, and blue briefcase.
All until the moment appears in front of her, and she's like, sod it, I'll have that. I'll absolutely have that woman's right bang. And I still don't think they've quite figured out what they want to do with it, but they often use the briefcase as a shortcut to not having to worry about that. Mm. It's like, well, they've got a case. We don't have to book them now for 6 months. She can get pinned as often as she likes, but she's got the case. She's a clear and present danger every single week, no matter what she's up to.
I think it might be Liv Morgan. I keep changing my mind on this. Because I think I ended up booking it being Asuka yesterday through a process of elimination. The one thing I'm most confident on, and watch these words come back to haunt me in a few days' time, is it's not going to be Becky Lynch. Because I think you're right. I think this downward spiral, mm-hmm. she's like, oh, I'm better now. I'm in the Money in the Bank match. She's going to be there. She's going to be grabbing the briefcase. Asuka's going to knock her off. That feud's going to go on and blah, blah, blah. And then I think you could make an argument for almost anyone in this match. But I'm going to go with Liv Morgan now, although I'm probably going to change my mind within 24 hours of this. In terms of the men's match, you guys know where my loyalties lie. Sami Zayn, Mr. Money in the Bank is something I've campaigned for.
It's the funniest option and the most fun.
5 years, I think I've been going for. Yeah. The obvious one, I'm obviously going to throw to you first on this for obvious reasons, Andy.
Och.
Is Drew McIntyre, isn't
it? Who's neither fun nor funny.
Och, I the new, I can, yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? Him calling his shot for the for the stadium show in his native Wales, where he lives and was born, is probably what they're going to do. It's a big babyface kind of big dick move to do that, to call your shot and say, me and you, Roman, main event, even more so against Reigns, who is presented as the omni-god of WWE. And I think that's probably going to be what they do. I think that the next few months of programming will be geared to trying to make the dethroning of Roman by Drew as big as possible, because I do think that's going to happen in Cardiff. I think they are going to make the misguided move of having this poor man dress up as the British Bulldog in a Union Jack in that stadium, which would attract a very interesting response in Scotland in particular, let me tell you, friends. I don't know if what Drew's opinions on the Union Jack are, but hey ho, it's a splitting topic back in our homeland. However, I think that would appease a lot of British fans. I think that people who are really big Drew fans would be. I like Drew, but you know, I'm not a fanboy of him or anything. I don't like using that term, but I'm not like a mega fan of him. Whatever. I think people who are into him would be really happy with that. I think Seth Rollins is a more interesting option. Because then you can do stuff with him, really screw him with Cody while Cody's not there. You could even have him win the belt, or Cody wins the Royal Rumble first.
We have the exact set pieces from the heist of the century from a few years ago. Yeah, it was Brock and Roman.
Yeah.
The last time Seth cashed in.
Yeah.
So you could tease that he's going to do the exact same thing
again. And he could have a different colour briefcase every week.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
If it's not Drew, you're going Seth?
Oh, now. No, I'm going Sammy if it's not Drew.
Yes!
It's Drew, right? It's not awful booking. Drew saying, I'm calling my shot, and then there being no way for him to actually do that other than to have this case. It's not terrible booking, to be honest. He's a strong, confident babyface that says he's going to do something, goes and does something, is basic babyface booking. And there's, you know, I'm not the biggest Drew McIntyre fan either. I don't think that him winning the belt at Clash at the Castle is this era-defining visual that they believe it to be.
No.
But I think they're gonna do it anyway. What I do potentially quite like.
Oh, it's not there. Sorry.
If I had another button, I would have said, you know, when he arrives in, it wasn't even my car, Diff, for the big title match. I will say what could be quite interesting is Drew having the belt, having the briefcase, and then having the run to SummerSlam to basically say, I don't care if it's Roman or Brock. It actually makes Roman and Brock a little bit more interesting. If Drew McIntyre is sort of feuding with both of them on television, like fronting up to Brock Lesnar and saying, if it's you, I'll do what I did at WrestleMania and I'll beat you for the title.
In front of some fans this time.
Yeah, but this time I'll get it my way. And if it's Roman, he said, I knew I had you that time and like I came this close. And but like him running two programs at once in the run to SummerSlam where he doesn't need to worry now, Clash at the Castle, that's safe, that's secure, that's yours. Like that's not terrible television either. I think Sami Zayn is infinitely more interesting.
Yeah.
I think the guy who has been... What's so cool about the Sami Zayn, and again, I think it's good booking, genuinely decent booking from WWE. What they've done with Sami Zayn in making him this guy that wants to be an honorary use for reasons that he has refused to make explicit. Is he doing it to just stay close to the power players on SmackDown, or does he actually, the little rat, want the title for himself? The fact they've never just openly had Sami... Like, do that thing where he's talking backstage with all the, like, a camera's right there saying, anyway, don't tell Roman and Paul Heyman that my plan is to win their title. Like, they've kept that ambiguous in a way that I think has been actually quite fun television. Anytime that he says Oos, or he wants to be referred to as Oos, is a total popper. Look at him. Just look at him. Like,
what's the thing, the ceremonial thing they put
on
there?
Oh, the lee, yeah. He's about as Oos as we are. You know, like, it's just, it's great.
I'm more goose than Oos, personally.
It's genuinely good stuff. So I would favour that. But the Drew stuff's okay. They've done the work. They've done the work for the
Drew. I wouldn't be that annoyed, but you're telling me there's a chance. This is the most confident I've ever felt.
It's not for us, is it? It's not for us. It's not for...
Not that specific set of circumstances.
It's not for people who were alive and watching wrestling when British Bulldog won at 92.
Yeah, if you know the difference, you know the difference.
Exactly.
Well, let us know your predictions ahead of Money in the Bank on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, of course. But enough of all this. It's now time for a
bloody good quiz.
And this week's quiz is brought to you by Megan Roxburgh. If you want your name associated with a hashtag bloody quiz, or you want to write one yourself like Megan's done, thanks for this, Megan. You can submit a 5-star review on iTunes, What Culture Wrestling, and you can also email them to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com, just like Megan has done here. Megan writes, hello, I just wanted to send this quick message to say how much I've been enjoying the podcast over the past few months. I've found the reviews for AW and WWE shows especially interesting to hear how other people, especially those with such knowledge and insight as Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, view the shows given their unique perspectives and tastes when it comes to wrestling. On the other side, wrestle culture has become a welcome start to the weekend, which has made me laugh out loud at times when I've really needed a reason to smile. So thank you for that. With that in mind, I've put together what I hope is a pretty decent Money in the Bank themed quiz for you all to enjoy. Thanks for your time, Megan Roxburgh. Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
She writes,
thanks,
P.S. Megan. Congratulations on the live show selling out so fast.
I have some more news on that live show coming soon.
Yeah. Keep your eyes and ears peeled.
No spoilers.
Clash near the castle. Anyway, 10 questions, multiple choice. Shout out your name. Wait for me to come to you. Most of all.
We're working the Principality Stadium. I couldn't keep it any longer. We've moved it to the Friday. We're doing the stadium the night before. Yeah, it's just, it's a reverse of Money in the Bank. Yeah. We're moving from small venue to stadium.
Shed 7 are going to be there. We booked the Stereophonics.
We've got Tom Jones opening for us.
Keris Matthews.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Every Welsh person.
Gorky's
in the world.
Zygotic Monkey.
Gomez. They're going to play.
Who's the Richard Vinegar. Really good singer? Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey's going to be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Propeller Heads, remember them? They're there. Lindisfarne?
Were they Welsh? No.
No, Ash were Northern Irish, I think. WWE won't care. They'd put the belt on that.
Exactly.
Portishead.
Very good.
Weren't they from Portishead?
They're Wales.
Anyway.
I might be taking a leap there.
It's just for fun.
That's Portishead the police?
Yeah, I think it's near Bristol or something.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, wow. That's Jules country, like that is. This, that's Jules country.
Portishead, hang on.
Did it.
Doesn't seem to.
We're supposed to.
His head. Supposed to sync it. Try that, shall we?
Super Furry Animals.
Of course.
They're Welsh.
He's a golden dog.
My favourite, mine and Drew McIntyre's favourite Welsh band, Delamitri.
Yes,
look around Cardiff, pretty baby. Is it everything you hoped it'd be?
It is near Bristol.
Hey! Geography!
Right, 10 questions. Shout out your name. Wait for me to come to you. Remember, it's just for fun. Okay. Question number one. As of 2022, how many Money in the Bank winners are also Grand Slam champions?
Jinx. Crivens, help my boob.
8, 9, 10, or 11?
Andy, 11.
No, dear, that's wrong.
8, 9, or 10?
Oh, I'll go 8.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It's a lot either way, isn't it?
It's 10.
Ah. Jinx.
Try and guess any of them?
Nope. Edge.
Miz, Edge, correct.
John Cena.
Nope, not a Grand Slam champion. Never won the IC
title. No, of course. Bob Lashley. No, he's not been Money in the Bank,
Big E.
Has he? I don't know.
Big E's not on there. Never been US champ, has he?
Who's that? Oh, he's in all
I assume that's what, I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be
Gangrel.
Do you want me to run you through him?
Gangrel.
Miz, Edge.
Gangrel.
RVD. Oh. Kane. Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Bayley, and Asuka.
Yeah.
Question number two. True or false?
Mm.
So if you get this wrong, point goes to your opponent. Every Money in the Bank pay-per-view, that is, or premium live event, has taken place in either June or July. True or false?
Hamflett. Mm. False.
Yay!
At very least, the one was in April because it was the first pandemic event and it was 2 weeks after the big mass call day because it was like climb the corporate ladder.
Oh yeah, truth on the roof.
Yeah.
2019
when Alistair Black died.
2019, 2020 both happened in May. The one you're talking about was recorded in April, broadcast in May, and is a point to Michael Hamflett. Okay. Question number three. The final Money in the Bank match to take place at WrestleMania was won by who? Kane, The Miz, Jack Swagger, Hamflett. Or Dolph.
Sorry, I'm just leaving the same amount of time that Jack Swagger left to unhook that briefcase.
Yay! Jack Swagger.
Miz and Kane both won pay-per-view ladder matches the same year. Dolph was in the WrestleMania match but did not win it. What's that? Question four. How did the New Day announce Kofi's entrance in the 2018 Men's Money in the Bank ladder match? Was it a giant pancake with Kofi's face? Kofi won rock, paper, scissors. Kofi's name on Xavier Woods' chest or Kofi's name written on the side of Francesca?
Andy, was it rock, paper, scissors?
No, dear, that's wrong.
God, I'm getting 0 points here.
I'll go with Francesca.
No, dear, that's wrong.
They teased Woods an E, and then Woods revealed on his chest Kofi's name. Okay. Question five. Five?
Yeah, five. Something like that. Last one was four. We got two blanks. He's got 2 points. Yeah.
Good. Question five. Which tag team has had the most combined Money in the Bank appearances? Edge and Christian, The Miz and John Morrison, Team Hell No, or The New Day?
Andy, is it Miz and Morrison?
No, dear, that's wrong.
I think I'll go with Team Hell No.
Yay!
Kane
must have been in at least like four of them.
Seven.
Yeah. Seven more. Kane sucks. Kane's just a now. Fucking dickhead. He's been in seven Money in the Bank. Sorry, Wilborn.
You're going home in 10 minutes, you fucking prick. He's got to stick around and edit these fucking swears out.
Just for this, I'm going to drag this quiz out. It's currently
he's gonna miss his boss.
2 minutes to three.
He's going to miss his boss.
We got half a quiz left, Andy.
Oh, God, no.
I got nowhere to be.
Well, if he leaves, I get his points, I think.
Team Hell No have 10. Seven for Kane, three for Brian. Edge and Christian have 9, 3 for Edge, 6 for Christian. Miz and Morrison, 7. 4 for Miz, 3 for Morrison. New Day have 8. 7 for Kofi, 1 for Big E. Xavier Woods never appearing in it. Maybe he's the TBD. I'd take that.
Hey. Right. Sorry for swearing, by the way.
Sorry about that.
Nasty.
You're fine. Don't you worry about it, Andy.
Yeah, I'm good. It's just this.
You didn't start it.
It's just this crusty old bastard.
Question six.
Sorry, man.
What was unique about the Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania 24? Was it opened the show? Three of the entrants were reigning champions. It had the highest number of entrants ever, or it was CM Punk's second consecutive win?
I've got a bad track record of answering first, so I'm not going to do that.
Hamlet. Reigning champions.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to guess any of the titles or the champions that they were?
Jericho was the Intercontinental Champion.
Correct.
MVP was the United States
Correct.
Champion.
Look at this. That's not very fair, this
and
is
I
it?
Think, was there a tag team champion in there as well?
John Morrison.
Before the options, because I remember there was options, I was going to say, there was a mini ladder, because it was the one where like there was a mini ladder and John Morrison did the moonsault hold.
Yes. Ladder. Of course.
I can't remember his, can it? Because I'd have been throwing him on that same show. I think.
Like LA Park.
Right. Is that six? That's six questions.
6-0, I think. To me.
Okay. AJ Styles qualified for the Money in the Bank 2020 by winning a battle royale, which occurred due to the withdrawal of which wrestler? Was it Andrade, Apollo Crews, Murphy, or MVP?
2020.
Oh, man. Those were the days.
Golden era.
Center episodes. Okay, Apollo Crews was probably exhausted from wrestling for 86 minutes against Aleister Black that week.
It might have been Polly Crews, you know. Big Polly.
Do you want to punt at Polly?
No, you do. Michael Hamlet.
I'll take a punt for Polly.
Yay!
Oh, well, actually, that counts as my point, so...
No, dear, that's wrong.
He beat MVP to qualify, but was injured during a US title match against Andrade. Murphy was beaten by Rey Mysterio in a qualifying match.
Sad time.
Question eight.
Yeah.
The clip of John Cena's return at Money in the Bank 2021. Oh, man, yeah, that was so good. Has how many views, when Megan looked at this, June 30th, has how many views on YouTube? 7.4 million, 8.4 million, 9.4 million, or 10.4 million views?
Surprised by those. I thought they'd be a bit higher.
Hamlet. Yeah, 9.4 million.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Here we go.
The next one up.
10.4.
Yeah.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Next one down.
No, dear,
right,
that's
so
wrong.
All right, so it was, I'm going to get it right now, it was 11.4.
7.4 million.
Oh, don't.
7.4, seems not a draw anymore.
So what deal was Orange Cassidy that had like 12 million?
Oh, it's a good question, this. It's question nine. Okay. Question nine, isn't it, I think? Is that right?
I don't know. Just end my misery and let him go.
Okay. true or false, there have only been two United States Championship matches at Money in the Bank pay-per-view events.
Andy, true. Yay! Yes, I got a point.
I know one thing, it's not an Intercontinental title match this year, is it, Will Vaughn? That pay-per-view streak continues.
Hey.
Can I name them?
Yeah.
The first one.
Yay!
And the second one.
Yay!
3 points.
Rusev retained against...
Oh my God.
2016, this.
Kalisto?
Better.
No, better?
Better wrestler.
How'd you get better?
Titus,
I don't even remember.
Neither
that.
Do I, to be honest, mate.
It was the main event with a shield on top. Yeah, I remember that. They're on the same.
And 2019, Rey Mysterio versus...
2019...
Andrade?
AJ Styles?
Samoa Joe.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Because Joe absolutely clobbered him in seconds at WrestleMania. Yeah. First time he said that, what's his chops are going to be ringside, Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we knew the fix was in.
The idea, final question, the idea to make Mick Foley the guest referee for Braun Strowman's cash-in match at Hell in the Cell 2018 came from whom? Kurt Angle, Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, or Mick Foley?
Hamflet. Mick Foley.
Yay!
A segment on Raw, Foley explained to Elias that he went to Steph about being part of the match to mark the 20th anniversary of his match with The Undertaker.
Dreadful. And that was Strowman's cash-in, wasn't it?
Yep. Tell us about your opinions on The Undertaker, Michael. Swear again.
Nah. Undertaker stinks.
But he cashed in, and then Brock Lesnar just came in and
went non-finished.
Thanks for watching, everyone. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. That was just
dreadful. Cashing. Thankfully, that will never happen again. It's money in the bank.
Braun and Roman had to lay there while Seth and Dolph took a big bump off the side because it was Shield versus Dogs of War.
Oh yeah,
but they were too big to do big stuff, so it was like send the smaller guys up there.
Yeah, you're quite right there. That's made me feel a little bit sick about Money in the Bank now, because it could all be for naught. So they could just do with it without Ace or Braun. Or
Braun kept the case in that storyline where he bullied Kevin Owens mercilessly for like 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good year.
Put him in the toilet, came out blue, all that. Yeah, why is he not in
Redemption? Pushed him off that ladder from like 100 foot in the air, but they couldn't get a good view of it, so you never see the bump.
Why is he not in Retribution Day with Edge and Rhea Ripley?
Bring the Dogs of War back.
Yeah.
IMO.
I've made myself sad just before Money in the Bank. Oh, wait a second. Sami Zayn's going to be missing Money in the Bank. Yeah. Back in the game, baby. Well, congratulations to Michael Hamflet, winner of this week's quiz. Let us know how you got on the quiz on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE, of course. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflet at...
Michael Hamflet.
You can follow Andy Murray at...
At Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Hope I Don't Have to Deal with the Eel this week. Watch out for the eel, guys. It's bad.
You follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What
Scrubbing
Culture.
Up your drain pipe.
WWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll have the news all tomorrow with all the fallout from SmackDown and Rampage, of course, which we've already previewed with myself, Hamflet and Sidge. Available as a podcast right now. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. We'll be dealing with all the fallout from Money in the Bank in the coming few days. And let us know your thoughts on Sami Zayn potentially becoming Mr. Money in the Bank at What Culture WWE on Twitter. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Hamflet, to Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Oh, it isn't.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.